Welcome everybody to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, trying to inch you back to the normal and get you up to date on everything in the entertainment world on the Las Vegas Strip, which is where I'm standing right now. You might be able to hear the fountains of Caesar's Palace. I am standing under the shade of a nice tree, looking towards the very pink, very sunny Flamingo. It's Tuesday, June 9th. So I disappointed you last week. I skipped the Sun on the Strip podcast because I was here. I was down on the Strip with my colleagues at the Las Vegas Sun and the Las Vegas Weekly, covering the news of the reopening of casino resorts. On Thursday, June 4th, I've been running around down here ever since, seeing everything I can see and doing everything I can do and writing all about it at LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com. I've been to Bellagio, the Cosmopolitan, Venetian Palazzo, the Strat, the Flamingo, Harrah's, Caesar's Palace, Treasure Island, and I'm going to hit the ones I've missed later on this week. So I know what you want to know. What's it like in Vegas right now? What's it like on the Strip? Are those crazy videos of very crowded casinos really what's happening? Well, don't believe the hype. Opening weekend definitely had some very busy times, especially at night at certain casinos on the Strip and downtown. But overall, you know, not everything is open yet, and the ones that are operating at around 40% capacity. That's just kind of an average from what I've got from talking to casino officials. They're between 40 and 50% reservations for hotels. It's a very different Las Vegas experience. I wrote about that a little bit for this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly. My incidental tourist column is all about how things are quiet, but how maybe that's good right now. Maybe there's a different kind of experience that some people will appreciate and some people will not be interested in, but that's where we're at right now. Obviously, different resorts are doing different things in terms of going above and beyond the safety protocols that have been mandated by the Gaming Control Board. For example, I just walked out of Caesar's Palace. They are doing temperature screens for all hotel guests checking in for overnight stays, but they're not doing temperature screens for everyone walking into the building. That's something that they're doing at Venetian, for example. Some casinos have plexiglass shields separating gamblers from each other at certain games. At Bellagio, they're requiring you to wear a mask if you want to play craps or roulette. All these resorts are offering safety guidelines and tools so that guests and visitors can be as safe as possible. And people that work at these casinos are definitely going above and beyond to create fun experiences for anybody who's ready to come back to Las Vegas. That's what we've been reporting, and that's what I've been seeing on my many trips this week.
Okay, before we get into a really terrific interview with an incredibly talented Vegas entertainer, let's do some news because it is coming fast. I was all ready to tell you that the Miracle Mile shops at Planet Hollywood opened up and that Excalibur is going to open up this Thursday, the 11th. But a bunch of more openings were just announced. Caesars Entertainment on Tuesday announced plans to reopen The Link, their casino floor, and other amenities. The hotel and parking garage will remain closed, but The Link's casino and some of the restaurants and stuff like that are going to open on Friday, June 12th. Now, The Link Promenade, the pedestrian walkway between The Link and the Flamingo that has a ton of restaurants and entertainment venues and also the high roller observation wheel, that The Link Promenade opened June 4th, last Thursday, along with many other casino resorts on the Strip. And the High Roller Wheel also opened on June 4th. So inside the Link, Guy Fieri's Vegas Kitchen and Bar, Hash House of Go-Go, and the O'Shea's Bar and Casino are among the offerings that will be operational this Friday. Caesars Entertainment also announced some other amenities that are reopening at Caesars Palace this week, including the Salon and the Race and Sports Book Bar and the Book. These things are happening on Friday the 12th, and all resort pools at Caesars Palace, including the swim-up gaming area at the Garden of the Gods pool. Also said that Restaurant Guy Savoy is going to open later this month on June 24th. And as I reported earlier this week, the Piano Bar at Harrah's is going to open this Friday, June 12th, along with the Carnival Court Bar. Those are significant because there's not a lot of live entertainment happening on the Strip just yet. And both of those venues will have bands or some kind of live performance going on. Probably a bigger deal, MGM Resorts was so happy with opening weekend that they are adding some more casino properties to the mix. Luxor and the Shops at Mandalay Bay Place, of course connecting Luxor and Mandalay Bay, will open on June 25th at 10 a.m. And then on July 1st, Mandalay Bay and the Four Seasons Hotel and Aria, the resort, will open. That's 10 a.m. on July 1st. That is a whole lot of stuff for MGM coming on very quickly. And if you take the three that they opened last week plus Excalibur that's opening this week, the MGM properties that we're still waiting to hear about are the Mirage, Vidara, Park MGM, and Nomad, and possibly the Delano Hotel. There was no information yet about the opening of Delano, which is part of Mandalay Bay. As if that wasn't enough Vegas excitement, my colleague at The Sun, Brian Horwath, reported on Tuesday that both Wynn Las Vegas and Resorts World Las Vegas are planning to link up with the Las Vegas Convention Center via the Elon Musk Boring Company tunnel project, which has been moving right along at the Convention Center expansion and has hit some major milestones and is, I believe, on track to be moving people around in the first quarter of next year when CES is slated to return to Las Vegas, the biggest convention of the year. So apparently in the future, that thing is not only going to move people around the Convention Center campus, but it's also going to connect with Resorts World across the street and Wynn Las Vegas. That is pretty amazing. You need to go to LasVegasSun.com to read all about that. My guest this week on The Sun on the Strip is Sarah Hester Ross. She is a fantastic singer, songwriter, pianist, and comedian, hilarious comedian. If you've been to that Harrah's Piano Bar that's so popular that I mentioned previously, you might have seen Sarah perform there. You might have seen her perform at the other super famous and beloved piano bar on the Strip, the Bar at Times Square at New York, New York Hotel and Casino. She's been a regular there for quite a while now. And she's super excited. New York, New York is open now. The Bar at Times Square has not reopened yet. But as soon as it does, Sarah's going to be back behind the keys where she belongs. And she's super excited about that. I also talked to her about her Pianos to the Death show, which sounds amazing and did a run not too long ago at the Space just off the Strip. And all of the fun ways she's been keeping busy while she's not working, including becoming something of a Vegas TikTok star. I'm too old to know what TikTok is, but you can find out all about it right now if you listen to this. It's me talking with Sarah Hester Ross.
Where are you from originally, and how long have you been in Las Vegas now?
I'm originally from Tampa, Florida, and I lived in Orlando for about 7 years before I moved here, and I've been in Vegas for almost 7 years. Yep.
Was there a particular gig or job or something that brought you to Vegas, or did you just come out here and decide to give it a go?
Yeah, actually, I was on tour with a show called The D Word. It's Ditch, Dump, Divorced, and Dating. It was a musical, a jukebox musical written by the author of Menopause, the musical. And we were doing a tour that started in Orlando, and we did a 3-month stint here in Las Vegas at the LVH, when it was the LVH, now the Westgate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just met so many people while I was here. And I actually met my boyfriend, Andrew Freeman, while on that tour. And I went back to Orlando and continued the tour with the D Word. And when the D Word ended, I was kind of in Orlando, and I was just in this medium place, didn't know what to do. I was dating Andrew long distance. He was here in Vegas, still at the LVH with Raiding the Rock Vault. And so we were doing the long distance thing, and there was nothing keeping me in Orlando. And so at the time I was just getting into dueling pianos. And it's a very big staple here in Las Vegas. So I figured I'd take a chance. So I sold everything I had, packed every belonging in my car, and I moved to Vegas. Oh. It was kind of crazy whim. And now that I look on it, a little bit irresponsible, but it worked out.
A classic tale of coming to Las Vegas.
I know, right?
Well, Raiding the Rock Vault, that show on Vegas for quite a while, and that was actually one of the last shows that I saw this year before the big shutdown, because I had somehow never seen it before, and I finally got over to see it because, yeah, it had just moved over to the Rio. And,
right. Yes.
Great show. Fantastic show. You know,
oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, all the players are so good. And you've been in that show a little bit too, right?
I was, yes. When it was at the Hard Rock, I was a regular sub in for the female singer.
I think that you have played maybe the two greatest casino piano bars on the Strip, right? You spent time at Harrah's, and
yes,
more recently you've been at the bar at Times Square at New York, New York. Two very different venues, but both, like, everybody knows about, you know, everybody knows if they're in those casinos that there's going to be some piano music happening right there.
Yes. I spent a lot of time on the piano bar circuit when I first moved to Vegas because I just wasn't experienced enough to work at the bars here in Vegas. And I learned a lot. I was playing with different players. It's also having a very large repertoire, knowing as many songs as possible, and also just being comfortable in front of different audiences, in front of different people, and being able to hold my own. So I did the road for about 3 to 4 years. And just like a comedy bar circuit, there's a piano bar circuit that, you know, traveling players play on. And then I got in with Steve Beyer about 3 years ago, and he started putting me in regularly at Harrah's with the twins. And then about a year ago, they started considering me full-time for the bar at Times Square, which is, before the quarantine happened, is my home now, which is really cool because I'm the only girl that works at the bar. It's kind of a boys club, but I love the boys, but, you know, it is what it is. And
well, maybe it makes it even easier for you to stand out in that boys club, right?
It does. It does. It definitely does. And so it's an honor is what I was getting to, is that, you know, they would trust me and, you know, I'm able to hold my own with these amazing, talented players that some of them have been in this bar since it opened 22 years ago. And it is super fun, always different every night, different crowd, different songs. It's just, it's a blast. I love my job.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a fun place. I feel like that is just like one of the classic party places on the Strip. You know, there's so many people.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Make that bar part of their, doesn't matter how many times they've been to Vegas, they're definitely going to stop by there sometime during their trip, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, I'm brand new to the club. But these guys, like I said, some of them have been there for 20-something years. And they have regulars. Ever since we've closed down, you know, people have been asking us to do, you know, live shows and stuff like that. They have just as many fans as any like show on the Strip, because it's been around longer than most of the shows on the Strip. So It's actually pretty fascinating. The way that dueling pianos works and how many people really, really passionately love it. And like you said, make a point to, that's their stop. When they come to Vegas, they gamble and they go to the bar at Times Square.
There's something about, I mean, obviously that's a dueling piano situation, so there's two performers. But there's something to me about being a piano player and singer and doing that circuit that you described that is very different, or seems very different from any other kind of like solo musical performer. You know, if you were up there just strumming some songs on guitar, doing like an acoustic show, that's got that like coffee shop feel. But when you're behind the piano, I don't know if it's just expectations or like the idea of someone in a bar doing this. You really, it seems like you need to be an all around entertainer and keep people on their toes and talk and tell stories and do things in between the songs.
Yes. It is one of a kind, definitely. And when I started in Orlando, I actually applied or auditioned for the Howl at the Moon in Orlando. And I, as a musician, I went to college for vocal performance. I have a major in music theory and a minor in piano. I know my circle of fifths. I know, you know, all that stuff. But when I got into it, I had no idea how much it involved. Because like you said, it's right. It's not only music, but it's comedy. It's knowledge of music. It's crowd interaction. It's constant, no dead time ever. And also on the circuit, you're playing with people that you might have never met before. So listening and improv and playing off your partner, that you don't know their jokes, you don't know their songs, you don't know how they're going to play it. You just got to flow with it because there's an audience and the show's on and it's time to go, you know? So it is one of a kind, and I don't know of anything like it.
Has comedy always been a part of your... I guess, has that always been something that you wanted to do, always combining humor into your music?
Ever since I started into dueling pianos, yes. My dad is very funny. My brother is very funny. My mom's even funny, too. So I feel like satire and comedy and sarcasm has always been ingrained in me, but I never realized how naturally it came from me until I started doing dueling pianos. I always did musical theater and, you know, comedy characters came naturally to me, but I never started doing my own type of comedy and writing and improv stuff until dueling pianos. And I love it. I'm so glad, out of anything that I've ever done, I am glad dueling pianos has given me my, I guess, how to put it, my revelation that, oh shit, I'm funny. And so, and I like it. And it's my best foot forward, especially in dueling pianos. I love crowd work. I love creating bits for the audience and stuff like that. And so I don't think, to answer your question, I don't think it's always been there. I've been aware of it, but maybe it has and I just didn't know it.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly had more reason and more opportunity, I guess, to develop that aspect of what you do. As entertainment is all shut down and we can't play any live shows for people, and you've had to create new content and different content. How has this experience in the last few months been for you in terms of trying to stay creative and busy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know it sounds a little silly because I'm a grown woman and I should know better. But my biggest creative outlet right now during the quarantine has been TikTok. And again, I know it sounds very silly, but it has been forcing me to create content, specifically music comedy. And I am getting a pretty good following actually from it. I now have almost 40,000 followers and with almost 400,000 views and likes from it. And people, not only that, but it's pushing people towards my Spotify, because I've got a live comedy EP out on Spotify and iTunes. And I would do songs and then people would be like, oh, please record this. And so I do. And then they go buy it. It's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this since the quarantine, so almost 2 months. And I am having a blast. I really am. And like I said, it's forcing me to create new things almost every day. And I am constantly writing down ideas and bits for songs, and I'm really enjoying it. I know I'm not supposed to be enjoying this time, but it is shown a huge blessing to my creative outlet, because normally, you know, with my job, I would be learning cover songs. I would be learning the newest song, you know, that's coming out because I know it's going to be requested in the bars. So when it comes to music and being creative, I don't have a whole lot of time when it comes to my job. But now that my job is on hold, I have so much time. And it is, it's kind of blowing my mind, because it's like, man, what if life was like this for me all the time?
And TikTok is kind of like, I mean, you'll have to tell me, you're the expert. I am not. I'm very old. And I don't know
about expert. All right. I'm an expert.
Compared to me. I mean, I don't have any TikTok videos with hundreds of thousands of views. So I'm going to go ahead and say that you're an expert.
I'll take it. Give me the trophy.
It's short stuff for the most part. It's really condensed content. So you really have to create something that captivates people, even if they may not have ever heard of you or seen anything you've done before. You really got to grab their attention, right?
Yes, it is between 15 and 60 seconds of content. And that's actually what I've found the hardest for me, is because my comedy is all musical comedy. So getting it pushed into 60 seconds is kind of difficult. But again, it's another challenge that I have really enjoyed, because now I write something for 60 seconds, and if it does really well on the app, I'll write the full song and then I'll put it out. And it's also a really good testing area of like, okay, are people even interested in this subject? Is this does this joke relate with anybody that's following me? And so it's mm-hmm. pretty cool. Science. I love it.
Yeah. I hope you get a little trial and error, and
totally.
It sounds a little bit like stand-up comedy too.
It's probably,
you can try that out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably a little easier. I did try a little stand-up here in Vegas. Found it was not for me. I did it for about a year here in the club in Vegas. I love the comedians here. They are so awesome. Musical comedy is a little harder to do with stand-up, especially with me. I'm a keyboardist. And so bringing my keyboard to these open mics was challenging, to say the least. So I got a keytar to do mm-hmm. my stand-up with, and it was pretty sticky, and I love my keytar. I don't regret a thing. I don't regret it. because I use it now for a lot of my bits and my songs, but stand-up just, maybe it was just too hard for me. It's hard. It is so hard. Just wasn't my thing. But yes, yeah, I think TikTok is very much like stand-up, where you try out material, and if it doesn't work, you move on, you know? So,
do you think that the way that you've had to approach making content during these weird times, do you think that's going to translate into a different approach when you can get back on stage again?
100%. I think I'm going to use a lot of these bits in my job. I also am hoping that this will turn into a show of my own. I've always wanted to basically be Bette Midler. Bette Midler is one of my heroes. And I know that she's not known, like, worldly for her comedy, but that's what I know her for. Mm-hmm. She used to be a lounge singer, and she would sing with her band, and she would do bits in between cover songs. And even when she got famous off of, you know, Wind Beneath My Wings and all these beautiful ballads that she got world recognition for, she would go on tour, but she would still do these very quirky bits and comedy and dancing and with her three background singers. And she was hilarious. And those that her followers and her fans would know that of her. And so that's kind of what I would like to do. And I would love my comedy to be the, like, basis of who I am, but also creating, you know, music and ballads and anything like that. But that's ultimately my dream, and my goal is to be that one day, is to have my own show. Dueling Pianos is everything to me. I love it, and I probably will never stop doing it. But yeah, for what I'm doing now, I'm dreaming of my show, my unique side of things, where nobody's really doing that right now. So maybe I can.
Well, that sounds like a very Vegas kind of show too. And Bette Midler had that residency. I didn't get to see it, but she had that residency at Caesars probably 12 years ago. And I'm pretty sure there was quite a bit of comedy involved with
that. Yeah.
I think she was doing everything, yeah.
Oh yeah, there's actually a live recording of it on YouTube, and it's brilliant. She's brilliant. Mm-hmm.
You have been working on, I suppose maybe it's a different kind of show, Pianos to the...
Yes, Pianos to the Death started 2 years ago at the Orlando Fringe Festival. It is very heavily based off of the Dueling Pianos process, just with a kind of twist of it being, if you've ever seen The Running Man.
Are you talking about the Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man?
The Arnold Schwarzenegger. So basically, Pianos to the Death is Running Man with pianos. So
this sounds amazing. I want to watch this right now.
It was pretty cool. We did a run of it at the Space. Cheryl produced it, and it was really fantastic. It was just a lot of work, and I hope we can do it again. But you know, it was a huge success, honestly. But you know, it takes money. It takes lots of money.
How many performers were involved in this show?
There were six of us, including myself.
And one by one, each pianist was eliminated until only you stood.
Well, that's the idea. And of course I won. It's my show. I'm going to win. Duh. I'm going to kill myself off. But, yeah, so it's actually a really cute idea. And, I had a lot of really talented people helping me finish writing it, and it was really great. So I hope we can do it again sometime.
Well, I'm sure you are as anxious as anybody else to get back on stage as soon as you can, as soon as things are safe and all of that. Until then, where can we find all this great content that you've been putting together?
Well, you can find me on all social media platforms at sarahhesterross.com. And all my social media is Sarah Hester Ross. And TikTok is where I am mostly around. I put it out on Instagram and Facebook every once in a while, but not too much. So, but I'm really trying to get people pushed towards my Spotify and my YouTube. I am really focusing on those three things. So if you want to come find me, come find me. And don't worry about stalking. If I didn't want people to stalk me, I wouldn't put it out there. So.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to this podcast at Apple Podcasts. You can also find past episodes at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. Hey, if you're going to come to Las Vegas, be careful, be safe, please wear a mask, take care of us, and we'll take care of you, and have a good time. See you next week.